Hi, I'm Marion McPartland. Today, my guest on Piano Jazz is the illustrious Phil Woods, whose splendiferous saxophone style is full of excitement, vitality, and he has a gorgeous sound to boot. His presence on the music scene is a constant joy to our ears, and especially it's a constant joy to have you here today, Mr. Woods.
Thank you, Marion, dear old friend. So nice to see you. I remember sitting in with you at the Hickory House back in... Well, we won't give the date, but we've been knowing each other a long time, and it's a treat to be with you.
Thank you. And you know, talking about the Hickory House, you probably don't remember this, but I hired you once for a New Year's Eve date there.
I remember very well.
Do you? Because I was so sick of noise, and I thought, New Year's Eve, it's going to be so awful. And I remember I said to Joe Morello, it would be nice to hire Phil, because then we won't... even notice it's noisy. We'll just have a nice time.
We'll have our own noisemaker right there.
Exactly.
Well, I sat in many's a night there, and it was a treat with Joe Morello, who, as you know, we grew up together. So
I know you did.
It was fitting.
And I remember reading somewhere about you guys practicing together, and you went out on a porch, you and probably, I don't know if they got the names right,
Sal Salvador
and yeah. Joe Sefcik.
It was actually Chuck Andrus on bass. He used to be with Woody Herman and Hal Serra, the piano player,
yeah.
Was with Julie London.
Right.
And Joe, it was my porch on the third floor duplex house. And if you go by that 61 Leeds Street, and you look up at that porch, the porch is tilted at about a 30-degree angle. We moved the upright piano up there.
Oh, my
and
goodness.
And my parents came home from the movies, and they could hear the music all over. But my father said that when he got up the next day, it's a wonder we all didn't die from the piano taking the porch out. Yeah, it was.
And the porch was never fixed, right?
It was never fixed. It was tilted like that up until the last time I was there, which wasn't too long ago. But yeah, we used to jam everywhere. We jammed once on an airport runway. We couldn't get in somewhere, so we pulled our cars up in a circle, and we put the lights on, and we had a jam session on the tarmac. I mean,
you guys really wanted to play.
We were possessed.
Well, but it's a good thing.
Well, yeah. I mean, the old Springfield gang, we used to play all that. People ask me, did you practice a lot? I say, I didn't practice a lot, but I sure played a lot. And that's how you learn to play jazz, is by playing with other people. That's all we did. We would play.
In other words, you never took, like, actual lessons.
Well, of course I did. No, of course I studied and went on and studied at Juilliard. But you don't learn to play jazz sitting at home playing scales. You got to go somewhere and play with somebody else. And that's what we did. Joe Morello got me my first gig when I was, I don't know, 15, 16 years old, my first six nights a week.
Oh, really?
Yeah, playing for dancing and playing shows at the Blue Grotto in West Springfield, Massachusetts.
It's funny, he mentions all these things to me. That must have been a very good time in your lives.
It's a wonderful time. Well, it's always, you know. But, I mean, to grow up in such an environment where everybody was on the same page. Charlie Parker and Dizzy Gillespie had changed the planet. And even up in Springfield, we were aware of it, you know, and we wanted to be with it, you know, and that was the music. And we knew we had to work very hard to equal what, not equal, but I mean to kind of keep up with the demands of the music.
You know, I love sitting here and talking, but I'm dying to hear you play something.
Well, I think we ought to play something.
And you've got these great guys with you, Steve Gilmore on bass and Bill Goodwin on drums, and these are your guys.
These are my guys. These are my brothers. We've been together 28 years now. With the Phil Woods Quintet.
And, boy, they can't keep steady job.
Talk about dedication and stick-to-itiveness and friendship and love and all of those good words. Bill and Steve are the personification of that, and I'm real, real, real glad you asked me to bring them along on this little sojourn, because I think the listeners are going to enjoy what they hear.
I know they will. I've heard them. I heard them not too long ago, so I'm looking forward to it again.
Well, we can share it with the radio world.
Okay.
Cool.
So what shall we...
Well, I'll grab the little old sax and let's do How About You. Seems like a fitting song.
It is a very good song.
Thank you.
You know, while we were playing, by the way, I love that tune. I haven't played that in ages, but while we were playing, I was thinking, I don't know if you remember this, an awful long time ago, you booked a gig in somewhere in New Jersey in the afternoon, and Joe and I were on it. I forget who the bass player was. It might have been Bill Crow.
I think it was.
But it was some typical night spot with neon lights, but it was about like 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and we all sat up, and we were ready and assembled, and you counted off the first tune, and it was like...
I was young.
Well, I don't know if I was young, but I was younger. But anyway, I was in shock, and I remember what the tune was. It was...
Be My Love, yeah.
But yeah. Didn't you tend to play that rather rapidly?
Yes, I did. Get it over with.
Well,
no,
I mean...
I love that song. I'm surprised. I must have been in a funny mood.
But, I mean, it was really good, but I was just sort of taken aback, by surprise.
Well, sorry about that.
No, but, I mean, it just proved to me that you had all the prime requisites. You were young and strong and aggressive.
I think when we're young, we kind of want to fill the air with notes. It's a natural youthful exuberance in as a young player. I mean, I listen to my old records, and I say, God darn, take a breath, you know.
It's very impressive, though.
It is impressive, but it's more impressive to find one note that means something. Now I'm trying to slow down. Slowing down is the art of music, I think. Oh. I mean, playing 16th notes is easy, but it's those whole notes that mean something. I'm still
looking for
you're
doing a pretty good job with all the various activities that you do in Delaware Water Gap.
Delaware Water Gap is...
swinging.
Is where we all live. We're kind of based within the environs of the Gap, which is in the Poconos. And we have the Deerhead Inn there, which is at the legendary pianist Johnny Coates. And the Deerhead Inn has had jazz for well over 50 years.
You know, I heard, I've got the record that you made with John Coates at the Deerhead Inn, but I also heard that the legendary Keith Jarrett,
which was produced by my drummer Bill Goodwin, as a matter of fact. Produced that record. That was done at the Deerhead Inn. Yeah, Keith Jarrett was hanging out there for years as a kid. And was very influenced by Johnny Coates, along with a whole lot of other musicians. Irby Green lives in the area. Al Cohen was in the area. Bob Durold, famous guy from Multiplication Rock, lives in the area.
Funny guy.
And my next door neighbor is Wolfgang Knittel, who's the guy that orchestrated the Fantastics. Who happens to also be a fantastic piano player and a big jazz fan. So we have nothing but great players.
All right, you're going to have to stop this name dropping and play something.
Okay.
What do you say to that?
What do we got on our schedule?
How about Sleeping Bee?
Sleeping Bee.
A Sleeping Bee.
A Sleeping Bee.
Yes.
Harold Arlen, one of my favorites.
One of mine.
You got it. Thank you.
That tune was from Flowers of Flowers.
House of Flowers.
And didn't, I know Harold Arlen wrote it, but.
Truman Capote.
Yeah, that's who I was trying to think of. But that's a great tune. It's amazing how some tunes always get played and some get put on the shelf. I can't figure it out, but that's one of the good ones.
Yeah.
Well, there's more to come with Phil Woods. Steve Gilmore is on bass and Bill Goodwin is on drums. Our program is made possible in part by a grant from the National Endowment for the Arts. I'm Marian McPartland, and this is Piano Jazz from NPR. You know, we haven't done a ballad yet, and I think that would be nice to do.
Let's do a ballad.
If you're in the mood.
I am in the mood for Lover Man by Ram Ramirez. Would that be suitable?
That would be eminently suitable,
Let's
Phil.
Do it. Thank you.
That's such a great tune. Do you pick something like that once in a while to play?
Oh, sure. I go back to the American Songbook. But primarily the thrust of the quintet, it was a quartet and became a quintet. We play songs that nobody else plays. I mean, a lot of people play Lover Man, but not many people play Summer Serenade by Benny Carter or We Could Make Such Beautiful Music Together by Sowers and Manners. Or,
yeah, that's one I don't even know.
No, these are old show tunes that were never used. How Could I Be Sure?
Yeah, that
by
one
Schwartz.
I know. How about?
Stray Horn stuff.
How about?
Stuff like that, yeah, stuff that people
I
Saw Stars.
I just dreamed that one up.
Wonderful.
Yeah,
that's
day.
A great song.
Yeah.
But we try to play something a little different. We actually recorded Miserlou, which is, you know.
Oh,
really,
my goodness.
We did The Duke by the Dave, you know. Brubeck's The Duke.
Yeah, that's one of his great tunes.
We have a whole set from The Miles. We do Springsville by Johnny Carisi. We do Repetition by Neil Hefti.
How about
we do Bohemian After Dark by Oscar Pettiford? Stuff that people don't normally hear. That's right, but you would know it, you old veteran.
But how about, you said Johnny Carisi, how about
Israel? We do that, and we do his arrangement of it.
That's a good one.
It's a wonderful with Miles solo written out.
Well, if you want a really obscure tune, I could give you one of mine.
I'd love one of your tunes. I'd love it.
Well, it's got a sort of a pedigree because Johnny Mercer wrote the lyric for it, and Tony Bennett did a record of it years ago. I wish I could get him to sing it now. So that's not a bad idea. I guess
what's the name of it?
Twilight World.
You wouldn't mind. I don't suppose you could perhaps play it for me.
I guess I could fumble through it.
I'd love to hear it.
Okay. Thank you.
What a gorgeous song that is. I love it. I must have a copy of that so I can add it to my list of tunes with the quintet. Would you send me?
I'd love it, and I would love to hear you play it.
It's really first-rate piece.
Well, it's more in a minute. My guest is Phil Woods with Steve Gilmore on bass and Bill Goodwin on drums. Our program is made possible in part by the Baldwin Piano Company. I'm Marian McPartland, and this is Piano Jazz from NPR. Well, let's play. I want to hear some more music and be a part of it, be in it. So, you know, I don't get to play with some horn players very often.
There's a song that I love, and I haven't played it in years, and it's by Irving Berlin, and it's called Blue Skies. You think you know that one?
I don't think I've played it for a few years, but that's a good one to play on.
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
One, two, one, two, three, four.
Thank you. You know, I'm so used to hearing that tune done as an up tune, and it's so nice to hear it at a nice, cool tempo.
I think it was, Blue Skies originally was a ballad.
Was it?
Well, whatever. I mean, I don't remember that 100 miles an hour like it's become. Oh. It was kind of a love song in a way. Blue Skies, meaning something good. You know, one of the great songs of Irving Berlin's that I happen to love, one that's probably not so popular, is a tune called Suppertime. I don't know if you know that one.
I do.
The only racially motivated song he ever wrote about a woman preparing supper for her husband, who's not going to be coming home that night because he's been lynched. And it's about the only time that Irving Berlin went to that area of American shame and commented musically upon it. And
well, he picked a good way to do it, didn't he?
He did.
It was very...
A touching song.
Very touching and in a way very classy. I mean,
And very bluesy. It's one of his few real bluesy numbers.
Yeah. You know? But, you know, you talk about doing obscure songs. Do you ever think about doing a Noel Coward?
Noel Coward, the first ballad I ever recorded on my very first record, way back in the 50s, I think 53, 54, for Prestige, I recorded The Man About the Boy, which I still love.
It's funny, I did too.
Great song.
I don't think
I'm a Noel Coward expert, but I was quite aware of his prowess as a songwriter.
That's pretty good right there. And then there's...
Yeah.
Poor Little Rich Girl.
Poor Little Rich Girl. Not bad, huh?
What can we do?
What can we do?
We can do...
Well, let's do something of Noel Coward's. And how about... I've always loved... we haven't done a waltz yet. How about I'll See You Again?
I would love to do that.
Let's do that one.
Okay.
Thank you.
you know, he would, no account, he would have loved that treatment of his song. He was...
The melody plays itself. There are some songs that you just have to decorate. You don't necessarily have to improvise on, but the melodic statement is inherently solid all by itself.
That's
and
true.
Any kind of a over-decoration, I think, is as the French say, is remplissage. It's all frosting. We don't know. But it is the hardest thing in the world to do, to restrain yourself and just do the composer and the lyricist's intent and try to be as clear and as direct just playing the melody.
That's... I'm trying to think. Somebody said that, Paul Desmond, the best chorus is the melody itself.
Well, I mean, there are songs that qualify. I think other songs lend themselves to improvisation. But if I play Lush Life, I don't mess with it, man.
No, nor
you don't mess with Lush Life, you know?
No, could make a list of songs.
I mean, it's more fun to...
But now, how about one that has been messed with quite a bit, How High the Moon?
I mean, when I first heard that tune when I was a kid, it's the first tune that has those very kind of hip changes, and they still sound good to me.
Oh,
how High
to
the
me
Moon.
Too, yeah. Why can't we play it?
Let's do it. How High the Moon.
Okay. I keep thinking of those bebop choruses that go with that tune.
Ornithology?
Yeah, they all come from High the Moon, don't they?
They all come from there, yeah.
But you know, it was a nice one. I remember Claude Thornhill doing something on that tune, very kind of, again, slow or medium tempo.
There was a Fats Navarro line on that, too, that was pretty good.
Boy.
But yeah, that's a great tune.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And it can go any way. You can do it up, or you can even... In fact, I think I learned that tune in England, and it was like a ballad.
Originally, it was a ballad, I do believe, yes.
Well, there's more coming up. My guest is Phil Woods. Steve Gilmore is on bass, and Bill Goodwin is on drums. Our program is made possible in part by the Friends of Piano Jazz. I'm Marian McPartland, and this is Piano Jazz from NPR.
Sweet Marian, my darling, would you do me a favor?
I'd love to.
Would you consider doing a tune? As you're one of the great exponents of piano trios, you've had the piano trios. That's where I first started playing with you at the Old Hickory House with that great trio with Bill Crow and Joe Morello.
My God.
Would you consider doing a song with my drummer Bill Goodwin and my bass player Steve Gilmore?
Consider it. I would love to.
They played with everybody else, but they haven't played with the Marian McPartland Trio, and it would look very nice in their resumes.
Well, I'd like to have them in my resume.
Please,
too.
Thank you. So. Something by Duke, perhaps.
Why not? We could do his. It was about in the 50s, I think, he started saying "Love You Madly," and then they wrote the tune. We could play that "Love You Madly."
I'd love to hear it.
All right. Thank you.
Marion, that was just gorgeous. I loved it. That was fine and dandy.
Well, if that isn't a lead into
is
a tune.
Is that a lead into a song?
Yes. I don't know what is.
I think we should finish off with maybe a definition of the show, fine and dandy.
Absolutely. That was fun. It's been a great time.
Thank you. Right back at you, old friend.
You've been listening to Piano Jazz with Marion McPartland and her guest, Phil Woods. Join us again next week at this time for an hour of conversation and improvisation with Marion and her guest. Piano Jazz is a production of South Carolina ETV Radio. The producer is Sherry Hutchinson, recording engineer Duke Marcos, assistant recording engineer Dan Hoppler, mastering engineer David Mitchell, production manager David Lyon, executive producer Elaine Freeman. We love to hear from you. Our email address is pj@scetv.org. You can find out more about the artists and music on Piano Jazz by visiting our website, pianojazz.npr.org. Support for Piano Jazz comes from the National Endowment for the Arts, ArtWorks. Support also comes from the Friends of Piano Jazz and from Jazz Times Magazine, delivering jazz news, insight, and advice for more than 40 years at newsstands everywhere and on the web at jazztimes.com. Support for NPR comes from NPR contributors, which include the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, presenting the MacArthur Award for Creative and Effective Institutions. Winners are at macfound.org. And the William T. Grant Foundation, supporting research to improve the lives of young people. Online at wtgrantfoundation.org. This is NPR.